And you might like to turn in your Bible to Romans and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Now, God and Father, as we've opened thy word, help us in every way. Honor our Lord, Spirit of God, and honor thy word. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You know, looking at my times are in thy hands, and we try to consider that a little bit to remind ourselves that all our times, coming and going, easy, hard, much, little, the world in which we live is there, and we live within it now. And here we are looking again, if we can, our time in the light of these times that we live in. So, and keep in mind, in God's wonderful plan and purpose, Adam and Eve sinned and they were to be saved. No question. They came born and they were the first two people, and God meant them to be saved. And God meant Cain to be saved and Abel to be saved all the way down the line. That didn't happen. And so in the process, but they're all meant to be saved. They're all meant to enjoy God's person in a very personal and special way. That's what they're all meant to do. But that was not the choice of the people. As they multiplied, they chose not to do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and they rejected God's, at Genesis chapter 6, they chose not to. Cain, first one born, chose not to honor God. Cain didn't honor God, Abel did. So the first one made a choice, he had a choice, all humans have a choice. He chose not to honor God. And all that followed after him chose not to follow God, apart from Enoch and Noah and all of those things. And they chose not to follow God. God, they knew God. And therefore, when I read Romans 1, reminding myself in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, plain, simple, made manifest in them. So it isn't something outside of them. It's something that they know within themselves. They know that. That made known unto in them. For God has showed it unto them. So it isn't a question of somebody telling them or going to a certain place to hear or see something. No, God just made himself known to the human being that he created on planet Earth, because God meant him, that person, to be saved. That person chose not to do so, verse 20. The invisible things from him in the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. It isn't a question. So us humans are on planet Earth, and they were back then, and they multiplied. And verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but were thankful that they could know God, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, after the Genesis flood, they realized God's judgment, that here's the three sons of Noah, and everyone that's going to be born, they're about all those. Those eight people knew God's judgment, and all that are going to be born are going to know God's judgment. So therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go. And Cain built the city, and that's what you have in Genesis 6. So God, we're going to do what we did. This time we're going to fix it, as we've shared, and we're going to include God. We don't want to do it all over without God, so we're going to include him so that he can't do this again. So they included God by building a tower and worshiping the creation as they perceived it and wanted to see it. God said, you shouldn't do that. Nothing I've made is God. God is separate from everything that he's made in a most wonderful way. So therefore, here they all are on planet Earth, and they know better. And they build. So tower in a city, religion, politics, and all of that now travels through history. And one other place that will help us, over to Ephesians. And in chapter 2, and in Ephesians chapter 2, you want to recall what happened in Genesis Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. What happened in Genesis 6? Humanity chose to go against God. What happens in Genesis 11? Humanity chooses to go against God with religion and politics. That's what they do. That's what they did. Now, Genesis 1:28, without going back there, Adam and Eve were to rule the earth, and God made all the dinosaurs and everything else to have an awesome, awesome, wonderful exercise in under being the manager of God's creation. But when Adam and Eve sinned, and then Genesis 6 and Genesis 11, what happened? The rule that they were to have disappeared and vanished, and Satan became the ruler. He became the ruler. They were supposed to manage it. Because of sin, they gave up, humans gave up, lost the right to manage it. So we have humans. And you know in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the God of this world, the devil himself. Here again, chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler of the power, the right, and having the right and the might, authority. The prince of the power of the air, that's the devil himself, the spirit that now worketh, where is it working, present tense, in the children of disobedience that don't believe, among whom also we all had our conversation, we all were unsaved, and we came to know the Lord as our Savior. We all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Satan took over. He captured the control of the world system in which we live. Why is that important? Because we're trying to put the pieces together afresh so that we keep in mind who's in charge. Now, God's in charge. But the world system, as you know in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil offers our Lord all the kingdoms of this world, he offers it to them. And he never rebuked him or anything. Satan's the boss. He's the head one of all of the world system with its kings and queens and everything, religion and politic. He's in charge. Now, and so therefore, we have no question, just lock it in, that the boss of the world in which we live right now is the devil himself. He's the boss. Now, he answers to God, that's true, but he's the boss. So now, history has to work itself out. As it works itself out, we have to understand that the believer becomes an oddity in the system. The world around it is run by the god of this world, the devil. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God saves you out of his system into God's wonderful, wonderful grace and mercy. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, having said that, now here we are looking, and here's the country, any given country, in any part of the world, the given culture, whatever the cultures are, all different kinds, the way people are raised, the system they're raised in. In South America, it's one thing. In South Africa, it's another thing. In China, it's another thing. In Russia, it's another thing. Canada, it's another thing. And all of it, it's all different. All different. And we have that, all of those things. All the while, God never changed his plan. He wants everyone to know him as a Savior. And we'll do that part anyway. Over to Acts chapter 17. And reminding us, God wants them to be wonderfully, wonderfully special, to be saved. But the world isn't interested in being saved, generally speaking. So, how far God will wait to reach a human being, he waits. He'll wait and give every opportunity for a person to come to know the Lord as their Savior. So in chapter 17, in the book of Acts, and in verse 26, and here we go, this is in Athens, Greece. And God, here's Paul delivering a message, and had made of one, verse 26, 17, 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God knows where they are, how long they are, that's what God knows. So God wants them saved, but they're all doing their thing. Verse 26, that they should seek, they should be seeking, present tense, should seek, be seeking the Lord. And if happily, they might feel, touch. Think of a blind man touching. You can't see, so you touch and feel your way along. And feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God wants people saved. How much? Even if they're out in the Thule land and they don't know anything and don't care, God will even want that person saved, and he'll give him grace as if they were blind trying to find their way. God will be very patient and gracious to every human being on planet Earth. That's what he's going to do. And you wonder why people live so long, why everything, think about it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so here we go through history. Over, if I can, to Daniel and chapter 2. Now, remember, God doesn't need any counsel. God's never disappointed. God is never discouraged. You have to know that. We use those words because we are. They relate to us. They don't relate to God. God is not, there's nothing God doesn't know beforehand, knows it all. His now, N-O-W, like we did this morning. God has it all. So there's nothing that's going to disappoint him, discourage him. He has an awesome plan, and he's in pursuit of it. The world isn't in pursuit of it. Chapter 2 of Daniel, here's Nebuchadnezzar. If I may go, he has his dream. And picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel, in which in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light, and in the light dwelleth with him. God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Now, having said that, what's he do? In verse 2, he changes the times and the seasons. They're all there, and they're all working itself out. And here's humanity going down the corridor of time, going down the corridor. And God is busy outworking it. To see that in the light of the big picture of nations, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. To the intent, purpose, that the living, that's us guys, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest, the lowest of men. God is in charge, wonderfully, wonderfully in charge. Now, having said that, he's in charge. And what do we know? We already know who's the prince of the power of the air, who's in charge of all the world system. The devil is. Now, God is in charge. Who does what? When a nation rises and falls, etc. Well, God's in charge. But it's the God of this world, and he's in charge. Chapter 7. What do we know about the Antichrist coming? Chapter 7. And remember, he's going to go and rise to power with the 10 horns, verse 24, 7:24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. In other words, he rises to power, the Antichrist, Revelation 13, etc. Verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, persecuting, doing everything to oppose their existence. Verse 25 again. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand, in his hand, until a time and a times and a dividing of time. For a little bit of time, he will have this awesome power to change things, and to get other places. He's going to change it. And the world system, here we are moving up to where we are now in history. What have we seen in the last year or two? We have seen the destruction of wonderful historic statues of history and everything. Torn down, boom, 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 ripped apart, names on schools, erased. I think they even did that to the good doctor that was in the in the doctor, whatever his name is, out there, school named after him, because he's a conservative. Took his name off the school. Took a name. Wow. Take the name. The devil's going to be go, and we got Christmas, but that's a lot of people that what? They don't want Christmas. We have no right to celebrate Christmas. We may celebrate Tomato Day, but we can't celebrate Christmas. We can't do that. So he's going to have awesome power to change. But God's over the changes. But he allows him to make the changes. How so? Chapter 9. In chapter 9, remember looking at where we are going down through the 490 years, the seven-year tribulation, etc. And in that formula, prophecy is here. And we'll look at it just quickly, but verse 25, chapter 9. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, this is under in Nehemiah, and they go back and build Jerusalem, the temple in that. To build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So that's true when Nehemiah and they went back to build the city, ultimately with Ezra and Nehemiah later, etc. Now, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, violently crucified. He's going to be crucified. Hang on. Going to be crucified. Shall be cut off, verse 26. But not for himself, and the people of the prince, that's who's gonna go and destroy the city, who crucifies him, Rome does, Pontius Pilate, and the people of the prince that shall come, that's Titus, 70 AD, he's going to come along, shall destroy the city, 70 AD, going to do it, and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, that's Titus in 70 AD. He's going to do that. They're going to be crucified. Then Christ is 70 AD comes. Titus is going to destroy the city. And then he's going to make that person, a Roman, out of the Roman Empire. Verse 27. He shall confirm, make solid the covenant by power, with many for 1 week. That's 7 years, the seven-year tribulation. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to go in and put his own image up in the temple and to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination, he's going to put his own image in the temple, and he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, the judgment's going to come, Antichrist's going to come. So it's all going to be very, very systematic, but there's going to be, we're moving. He's the God of this world, and there's no question about it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, go over to Luke chapter 21. Remember what you just read in verse 25, 6, and 7. Over to Luke chapter 21. And in Luke chapter 21, here's our Lord pointing to the future. They're going to crucify him. And he said, you're going to crucify me, and this is what's going to happen. Titus is going to come in and destroy the city. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's what happened in 70 AD. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In other words, the Gentiles are going to be in power. So we're moving through history, and the Jews are down at the bottom of the pile, as it were. The other Gentile nations are on top. And there they are. So the times of the Gentiles has to be fulfilled. So that's where we are. We're moving into where we are through history. And so we got it. He's the God of this. The devil's in charge of the system. And the devil can make changes. And he does. And the devil's going to do his thing. God is overriding all of that to the extent that he needs to for the outworking of his will. Over to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And you will note just the epistles, and here's the pastoral epistles. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous, dangerous, difficult, very demanding days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc., etc., etc. Sliding over to verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's where we are. That's back over there in 60-something A.D., way back there. But here we are down the corridor of time, and that's what it was then. It was getting bad, and it hasn't gotten better. Over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, so God, here we are looking at the movement, and what do we know? We're looking for the Lord's return, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But, chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, so we know. So we know good things, we've been saying them. We know how it's going to go. We know what the Antichrist is going to do. We know these things. We have all of this, and having know it. So here's our global conditions today. We know that it's gone downhill. And that. So with all of that, and we share together that God is outworking and managing his wonderful, wonderful way, all that he does. And God is never going to be wanting or worried about anything, because he has it all over the God of this world and the world system that's totally doing its thing. In the days of Noah, he has a whole world system apart from Noah, and God was in charge. All the people of Noah's day could do nothing to stop Noah building the ark. All the people in Noah's day could do nothing to stop God's judgment and flood. Couldn't do a thing. God's in charge. So, and here we are looking, And so God's doing what he's doing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind as we look at our world in which we live right now, that we're living in an awesome way, that we're living in it. So we passed all of that, and a change took place, different places of crisis and climax and change. In 1850, little more, 1850, a few years, in the 1850, using that as a midpoint to just say it, Darwin produced evolution, and Marx produced socialism, communism. They both happened at the same, both at the same period. They're both alive, and they did two dynamic books written to change. And rationalism is already there. They're questioning the church. They're questioning Catholicism. They're questioning everything and wonder if anything is real or right. Now, it's ripe for change. When Darwin, evolution, and communism came into play, that set the pace. That's what I want to look at for a moment. Because we're trying to answer all kinds of things in our world right now and trying to figure them out and how to stop them and fix them. But way back then, those two people in their positions, communism and socialism, produced a movement which then included humanism and materialism, where we are now, and heaven. So what happened, as we've shared, what happened to the gods of the 1700s, the 1600s, the 1400s? They're gone because they don't work. And we shared it, and you know it. Everyone knows that when we're all done with our religious thinking and we've got it up to here in our head religiously, we know we have no assurance or authority of its reality. We have none. You can be pantheist, whatever you want to be. Atheist, that's one way out of it. There is nothing. And as time goes on, humans wake up. Why? Because the electronic world has done what? It has brought to the human heart the person in the middle of South America in the jungle. Probably has nothing, but he probably has a cell phone, etc., and whatever. They have, what have we got? Everyone that wants has the electronic system in their hands, it's in some form, if they wish. They have the whole global system in their hand, don't they? What part of the world can you not reach? By pushing the button, you can reach anywhere. And you have all of it piled in like this, in this little thing, piled in upon you. We've never had that, never had it. So you can understand why the gods of yesterday, Zeus and Mercury and all of that, Diana, all of them, they're all gone. Us humans are still here, because that's what we eat, what we're doing, and we're caught up in the system. And electronic world and educational system and evolution, communism, long-standing, too many years in these United States, too many years. And it's taken its toll. It's taken not only a toll, T-O-L-L, but it's taking hold, H-O-L-D. It's taking hold of humanity. That's where we are. So, and evolution says we're some kind of, something happened somewhere in forever, somehow, and here we are as humans, and we're the best thing so far. But there's no God, and you're no more than just a plant. That's all you are, just a plant. That's all. an overgrown chemical reaction. And that's why we can kill millions of people literally. 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 Millions. Not six people somewhere in a school. We can literally kill millions of people. We never hear that, do you? You never hear that. No, you hear the little things. The big things that ought to wake us up, they don't see them. They don't see it as, why not? Because, who knows? Maybe evolution says there's no future. There's just us. And who knows, if we live a little longer and can have global warming, we can evolve into something else. Who knows what we'll be, you know? We'll change. Wow. So we have what? We have evolution that doesn't believe in any future. There is no future. And there is no God. And communism, right along with it, no God and no future. Just communism. Humanism, materialism, etc. What does that do? If you do that, all the way down through these years, many, many years, the educational system, we've been indoctrinated with it in all kinds of ways. So our society in which we live, this is what they're into. And if you don't have a sense, and we can be religious, but religion isn't going to give us an escape, an out, of what we've been buried in under evolution and all of that kind of thinking. That's what we have. So therefore, what do we know? Well, we have no purpose. There's no perfection anywhere. Only chance, fate. There's no good. There's no bad. There's no right. There's no wrong. No wrong. None. There's no judgment. There's no judge. We're here today and gone tomorrow. It's all over. We don't take that up front, because otherwise we'd go cuckoo if we believe that in our head, people. So they keep plowing along, because this is their day and their time as long as they can have it. And so therefore, and there's no responsibility. There's no judge, no persecution of crime. Actually, the criminal is a victim. The guy that just shot six people, he's a victim, and he needs to be protected. After all, he's a victim of society. There's no eternal consequences. There's no the rule of law and order, which is what made up part of our country, constitution, etc. We don't do that. We don't think like that. We don't consider that. And so now, here we are, and we want to say, how do we fix the border crossings? Why? Why? The people up there don't see a why. They don't see it. They don't believe that. Doesn't make any difference, does it? If we're just evolved, and there is no future, and there is no God, and it's just now, and whatever we believe and want to believe, we do it. So therefore, abortion's real easy, children killing children, euthanasia, real easy. I forgot how many people in Canada, 10,000 or something. I forget, just read it, that have already been killed with euthanasia. They don't. Whatever, they just kill them. That's what you do. Why? Because that's our thinking. What's to change it? We're looking to try to fix what? The basis for our problems is down here in our thinking, with it. No God, all we have is evolution and communism, and that kind of manifested itself to an attitude and a thinking that leaves us hopeless and copeless, C-O-P-E, copeless. It leaves us without anything. And you want to fix something. Well, the people that are trying to fix it don't see it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. And so therefore, and sexual pursuits, whatever, whoever, however, we don't, crazy things. But so what? So what? Don't you have a right to do what you want? It's your body, it's your time, it's your, you're only here for a moment, then you're gone. So shouldn't I have a right to do and think as crazy as I want? That's what I should have a right to do. And that's what people do. That's what people do. And they applaud. You have a right to do that. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and narcissism, self-love, and all of those kinds of things, all of them, and it's way out in left field. Left field isn't even, we can't even use that. So, the world to me, and me to the world, we're just in the world, and so we're going to do what? Get whatever makes you happy. Drugs, marijuana, all the different drugs. Why do you think all these drugs coming across the border, fentanyl, whatever it is, by the ton, literally tons of them. No one's stopping them. And people are cornering them. I don't know how many are cornering them. I never saw Jeanette taking any yet, so I don't know. I haven't seen that. I'm just telling you, they're caught up. When does it stop? When are you quitting? I never hear anything trying to fix it. They're trying, but the people in power don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it. So here's the marijuana, and there's no personal responsibility. There's no meaning and purpose to being alive on planet Earth. And we're looking for pleasure by whether drugs, drink, whatever it is, to have some form of something. And for everybody in whatever way we want. So having said that, and just, there's nothing. Law and order, police, burning down buildings, there's nothing. What's wrong with it? It's just part of our people. We have nothing. And you're trying to tell them to have something. No, they don't see it. They don't see that. I had another whole thing. I won't give it to you, but here's the thing. This is a whole survey of senior pastors, churches, and the senior pastor. And one third plus of them approve of sexual gays and all of that stuff. Morality is out the window. There are no moral absolutes. The Holy Spirit is a symbol. And reincarnation is a real possibility. And in the process, and good people should somehow get to heaven, shouldn't they? And socialism is preferred over capitalism, etc. Now that's the pastors. So what I'm trying to get you to see, the churches can't build a thing to overcome it. The churches have given into it. They've given into it. So how does it stop? I'm telling you, I don't know how it stops. But it doesn't need to stop. Because God never said he would save the world system. He would save people out of the world system. But he'd never save the world system. The God of this world is in charge, and that's condemned. It was condemned yesterday. It's condemned tomorrow and the day after. It's judged. So God isn't trying to fix that at all. Therefore, in the light of that, and you know without turning there, if you can, Isaiah 5 and 20 and that, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, light darkness, darkness light, bitter sweet, sweet bitter, turn everything upside down. That's where we are. And you don't fix that. All I'm trying to do is see the root problem is an old problem that's been long-standing, And it's been there for many, many years. And we have never counted it. And someone said, well, looking for revival. Well, I can see a person getting saved, I said, but I can't see it. I don't see it. Where they used to line up, Billy Sunday and all of them, and they'd line up, the bar rooms would close, everything would close down, people would get saved and want to get religious and go to church. And remember we shared years ago, Courtney or whatever, in New York, the Clarendon Baptist or whatever it was, in New York City, they lined up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get into the church service. That's how important it was. Church wasn't at 6 o'clock. But they got up at 6 o'clock to get in line to get a seat in church. When was the last time you saw that? You see, we don't have that anymore. All of that's gone. Never going to happen. Nope, we're way, way close to 5 minutes of 12. Not going to happen. Therefore, application. God meant every human being made in his image and likeness to be wonderfully, wonderfully special. Cain didn't want to be special. The people back then in Genesis 6 didn't want to be special. Genesis 11, they don't want to be special. And we go through history, Darwin and Marx and evolution and communism and all of that. They're trying to find answers apart from God, without God. Leave God out and let's start trying to find answers. And well, that's what we're going to do. Now, having said that, God wants specialness. Israel, over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. And you will know, please, Israel was chosen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to be special, to let the world know that God meant people to be special, personal, personally, wonderfully, to know God. Verse 6, 7, 6, Deuteronomy. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. Special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The world doesn't want it, but Israel was supposed to demonstrate it in a most, most wonderful way. And the word special, possession, treasure, a wonderful treasure. It's the word used in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. Special, they're peculiar. Israel was chosen to be a peculiar, special treasure to God, to demonstrate what everyone was supposed to enjoy, being special. Back over to Malachi. And in Malachi, chapter 3, Malachi 3, verse 16. This is the end of the Old Testament. And here's Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi. And here's a remnant, the believers that are trying to believe. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened it, and a book of remembrance was written to be before him for them that feared the Lord, for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Do you see the word jewel? That's the word special. Special, peculiar, prized. They're special treasure, a wonderful treasure. And what do you know? In 2 Corinthians, don't you? Chapter 4. And I wonder if it's still there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, over to verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And picking up verse 7, in the light of receiving Christ as our Savior, verse 6, verse 7. But we have this, what's the little word? Treasure. Treasure. What's the treasure? God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God, what makes you so valuable, so special? God does. I leave God out. Evolution, communism, socialism, and all the rest of it, rationalism. I leave it all out. I've got nothing. But when God's involved, it becomes special. God meant you to be special. God meant the church, which is what we're talking about here in 2 Corinthians, to be very, very, very special in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Special. And without doing all that, you know, in the process. When you get saved and come to know the Lord as your Savior, think of Sunday school a little bit. When you get saved and come to know the Lord as your Savior, God places you in the body. In the body. Not like Israel around the camp. No, no. You're as part of his nation. No, no, you're part of his body, a particular part of his body. And 1 Corinthians and 12 and 18, God places us in the body. The Spirit of God does. When I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I become special. I become a treasure to God. And obvious, awesome. I become a treasure. And God makes it so that what? I'm able to go and be able to do exceeding abundant above all that I ask or think. I become very special to God. And therefore, I'm able to find God's wonderful saving grace in a wonderful, wonderful saving way. God places me in the body to be his treasure, to part of the body among all the other parts. Wow. Now, and having said that, and so when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, what did God do that made you special? John 1:12, then, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's true. And John 1:12, as may as receive him to them, gave you the right, the power, the privilege to become what? Children. Here's the children. What if you're children, children of the king or something? A children of the king. Be a child of God. Is that special? Here's our whole world, communism. Here's the whole world. 8 billion people plus on the planet Earth. Wow. They aren't special. They don't see any special. To become a child of God. To become a son of God. I think that's special. To be his treasure. That's special. To be able to know him as my Lord and Savior. That's special. Special. Therefore, in the light of that, over to, and you know we're special, and Ephesians and all that. God makes us special. When are we, well, here we are in this body, right? And we save Christ as our Savior, so the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us, part of his body, here we are, right here. But at this very now, N-O-W, we're right there. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to show his grace. So here we are like this, but we're there, seated, the believers, one body, one wonderful body, special. Special, special. No one wants to be that special. But God wants you to be special. God does. The world doesn't want it. The system doesn't want it. And that's the problem. If you don't want to include God, you're stuck trying to solve problems that are only going to get 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, worse and worse. Only going to get worse. You can't. You don't want to include God. You're stuck. How do you fix it? Not without God. Not without God. Therefore, quoting, if I may, I was given this quote. This is Winston Churchill during the Battle of Britain when Germany was trying to beat up Britain and take over, get rid of Churchill and all that. And in the process, Winston Churchill said, that battle, bombs are dropping all over the place. Bombs. Not like the Ukraine, worse than the Ukraine, I think, in that sense. When great causes are on the move in the world, we learn we are spirits and not animals, and that something is going on in space and time and beyond space and time, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. D-U-T-Y. It spells duty for us to stand up against it. Duty. You're getting bombed. And something's going on. Right. God is making changes. The devil is making changes. And it's changing. That's where we are in that dynamic right now. Globally. Changes. Wow. 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 Interesting. What do we do? We want to be. When you hit the winds of adversity, and the winds of adversity are blowing, what do? Run for cover? No. No. Or build windmills and gather the power that's coming. The adversity, the activity, the enemy, all that's happening should only do what, Winston, what'd you say? Should get us stronger. Stronger. Instead of getting weaker, we get stronger. It doesn't make sense. But it is true. We get stronger. We aren't running away. No. We roll up our sleeves. Our Father is allowing it all, and it has to happen. And God, what is our assignment? We're so special. We're to go and show your wonderful resurrected life. That's what the church is sitting. The church meets together as a body to show the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the world. Simple. That's what it does. To show God to the world. The world doesn't, seeing us at work, home, and school isn't the same as when we're meeting. People look out and they say, they've got church again. That's where the testimony is. For God's awesome working. And we don't get weaker. We should get stronger. As we get weaker, we end up getting stronger. I see my right. I was trying to encourage you. You ought to be encouraged. There's a wonderful thing happening. It isn't strange. It isn't a strange thing where you can't fix anything. No, it has to be. It's where it's going. And we're here to be there. To show we're special. The world doesn't want to be special. But we are special. And the angels know it, you know, with all doing all those illustration things for us. And the demons look and say, well, I don't remember the guys, the Jewish says, I'm a Christian. I'm able to have power. And the demons said, Christ I know, but I don't know you. I don't know you, the demon said. I don't know you. And then he clobbered him. He clobbered him. Yeah. Don't tell me the devil knows who is saved and who isn't. God knows. And so here we are looking for God's wonderful grace. And I trust we didn't do very much, and I got to quit. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. I just wanted you to see your future. So in case you get mixed up or someone doesn't say anything, it's our time to have the windmill and to stand fast and represent. The only thing I'm going to show the world is my resurrection. I'm going to demonstrate it in the whosoever's that believe. They're going to know me as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to show my resurrected life in their little life and heart. That's what I'm going to show. And when they come together, I'm going to show my wonderful person, said the Lord. I got to quit. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And so deal with us. Thank you, Spirit of God. Boy, I owe you. I do. Thank you. Thank you, thank you very much for what you do and how you do. Help us understand, God, to be able to withstand, and God, to be able to hold the fort. And our God, we're going to thank you in all of it, for all of it. It's an awesome time, God. Not a strange time. It's a wonderful time. Like we shared this morning, if we just knew what to do with it. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.